yesterday evening is I was going to go round and water the garden. Oh, sorry, water my allotment to be put in a better place. And then I thought, all the forecasts have said that we're going to have rain. Do I trust the weather forecast? Or don't I? Because they did say on Friday it was going to rain. So I planned my day accordingly. And of course, it didn't rain. And I began to think last night, well, what should I? Should I? Anyway, I made an effort to go round at least to have a look at the allotment. And down in the allotment, there were a tree of my blackberries is coming. But there were some that were really nice blackberries, nice and thick, ready. There were some that were half done. And there were some that basically were nowhere near. And I don't think they're going to come. So in this one bush, I had a mixture of some good blackberries, some ones that look as if they're going to happen, and some that I don't think will happen. But by faith, I decided that I wasn't going to water the allotment, and my faith has been rewarded. It is absolutely torrential out there now. So we've had enough, Lord, and we thank you for the rain, but we now would appreciate the sunshine. Amen? Yeah. Amen. The first amen we've had, yeah. So, but what I'm saying to you, we have been doing a series on the Holy Spirit, and we have created a booklet. And this booklet's going to be available in 2 weeks' time because we've got probably one more lesson on the Holy Spirit. And then Katie is going to create a nice cover for it. And it is going to be available to you. So it will have all the notes of the last 4 weeks. It will have all the in-depth talks that you haven't got on your Bible study notes. Some of you have picked the weekly bulletin up and will be following the sermon this morning from there. But it only obviously doesn't hold all the content. It's a synopsis. But here it's the full article. So if you want to get Katie your name, we'll make sure you get a booklet, and it'll be quite handy for you to keep for you to go back on in some months' time and read the booklet. And if you don't understand anything in the booklet, come back and talk to us. Because the Holy Spirit is very, very important. But Jesus has said in John 15, without me you can do, and the tree has to bear much fruit. I'll go back to my illustration that I had at the beginning, that there are some blackberries which I picked and I ate them yesterday evening, and there's some that are almost ready and there's some I don't think are going to make it. And you know, that's like the human race. We're in this one nation, but we are very much a mixed bunch of people. And even that is so with Christians. And God is wanting to say to us this morning that this is the series we've been going through, but we want to finish off the series by trying to get you to walk. We have been talking about the Holy Spirit, and we haven't called it a thing. We've called it a person. And I hope by now you know the Holy Spirit is a person. And it's a person who lives inside of you if you know Jesus. And that's the first foundation. And we'll talk about that later. But if you know Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit inside you, and we're not going through them step by step, but that's the wonderful thing the Holy Spirit there does for us. And it's amazing what the Holy Spirit, and these notes and all of these things will be available to you. He's called the Spirit of life, he's called the Spirit of truth, of adoption, of power, of comfort, and of holiness. And he goes on and lists the things that I've done. And we also know that if you're a Christian, or if you're not even a Christian, there are things you can do to this person, and they're there. They're there for you. And as Christians in particular, we need to know. Paul says this, don't you know that your body is the temple of the... Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean to say we've all got to go now into the gym and get our bodies in tip-top condition, mate. That doesn't mean that at all, mate. Relax, Simon. It doesn't mean that at all. Okay? If you want to have a physique like mine, then that's great. And God would bless you if you had a physique like mine. But what I'm saying is, it is not a pre-requirement. But what Paul is saying is, be careful what stuff goes into that body. Be careful what you do with your body. Because we can resist the Holy Spirit. We can vex Him. We can grieve Him. And the reason we can do all of these things is because the Holy Spirit is a person. And so, we need to understand some of these things. We also know that the Holy Spirit comes and possesses us. It's great. Now, it's nothing something to be freakish about. When the Holy Spirit comes to possess you, there's nothing wacky and weird is going to come. If that God has given you a gift, who knows that when God gives gifts, He only gives? God is what? That's what you've been singing, haven't you? So if God's got a gift to give you this morning, it has to be. So, God says, I'm going to give everybody who knows me a gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit's going to lead you, give you witness, help you to do all this good stuff. As I say, we've gone through this in the last few weeks. How many people at the top know that people in Iraq today need some comfort? Eh? I mean, how many people know that on Father's Day and on Mother's Day, some people find it very difficult to cope? Do you know some people lose their parents and their children on Christmas Day? And the next Christmas day that comes around, they find it very difficult to celebrate Christmas. They need some comfort. And I want to tell you, no one, as good as human beings are, can I say that no one will comfort you the way the Holy Spirit can. No one. But our big problem is the Bible talks to us on different stages of life. Just go back to my illustration, as there are some blackberries ready, there are some not ready, and there are some that may not indeed ever come. There are three types of Christians. The first one we've got up on their board, what does it say? What did Jesus say? Without me you can. So if I am running a self-directed life, I'm not running the life that God has wants me to live, because God has said without me you can do nothing. And when we are self-directed, when we've got our own agenda in life, and now this might be difficult or hard for you to take, but the moment you came to know Jesus, you surrendered your life to Jesus. Now, I believe the word surrender means you've got to give up, doesn't it? Now, and you don't have to. God never enforces His will on any human being. He willingly, voluntarily, sent Jesus to go to a cross. Jesus did not have to go to a cross to die for us. He willingly, voluntarily went to a cross. God could not say to Jesus, you will go to that cross. He gave Jesus a free choice. I'm thankful that Jesus said, I'm going to go to that cross. Because I want to die for every human being that they might know me if they will take me into their heart. And if they will say to me, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive me for my sin. I hand over my life to you. Jesus comes in and we're saved, aren't we? That's all it is. Remember, Christians are not perfect. They are just forgiven. Christians are not perfect. And if you think, well, I'm trying to live a perfect life and I keep tripping up, join the club. Join the club. The difference is we don't want to sin. That's the difference. The difference, we don't go out every day thinking, I'm going to do this, when we know we shouldn't. That's the key. But it doesn't mean to say sometimes we don't lose it. And Jesus says, you're not perfect yet, but you are forgiven. Because you've asked me into your heart, into my life. But the moment that you do that, you will hand it over your life to me. So therefore, that is wrong if you are claiming to be a Christian. We call it the carnal Christian. The carnal Christian. It's someone who's saying, yeah, I've given my life to Jesus and meant it at the time, and then suddenly decides, well, yeah, I'm pleased I'm saved, but I think there's a few areas, Jesus, I don't really want you to go into. I don't really want you to take over my finances. I don't really want you to keep challenging me to, you know, go be in Sunday school or do this or do that. I'm quite happy that I'm saved and that I belong to you, but, you know, can we just sort of back away a little bit? There's still things that I want to do. And I believe God's got a problem with people who have got an agenda, because God says, Bring all your plans to Him, and if they're His plans, they'll succeed. God wants you to have plans. He wants you to have vision. I'm not saying that you don't now plan your next holiday. I'm not saying that at all. That's silly. What I'm saying to you is, though, your first directive in life is to seek God's will for your life. That's what all I'm saying to you is. And I'm not saying that God's going to say, no, you can't go on holiday anymore, or blah, blah, blah. I keep saying that to Avril. But God is saying, listen, all I want you to do is surrender your life to me, and I'll tell you, I'll make your life better than what it was before. That's what God is saying, but there may be some things I need to put right. For instance, when you get married, women, you find out, are not perfect. Trust me. And you find out that there are certain things that you need to iron out with them. The problem is, they too think, wow, he's not the hunk that I thought he was. In fact, he's a chunk. And my wife seems to have a problem with picking my clothes up. Marriage is a work in progress. Isn't it? It's a work in progress. For instance, on Wednesday, we went to Tamworth, we went to John Lewis's. And I'm in the store, no, I don't like shopping. And there were no shopping trolleys, so I couldn't jump on them and slide around in John Lewis's. So I said to Avril, oh, I've got a voucher, I'm just going to go over to the electrical shop. The electrical department, and I was quite happy playing with their iPads and stuff. While Avril was looking at curtains, just a little bit of curtains, she rings me on the phone and says, are you finished where you are? And I said, yes. She says, I found some curtains. How much do you think they are? Well, a piece of curtains like that, Shannon. I said, well, 250 max. She said to me, 1,125. I tell you something. I'm not going to repeat what I said. But I bound it. I said, hold on, I'm coming over. And I did. And we worked it out. And I think Abel was just trying to jam me up. Because I don't think even Abel was going to spend that amount of money on curtains. I think. I'm not saying for certain. All I can say is they're not coming to the home. Okay? Not unless you want a whip round. But for a pair of curtains, £1,100. What I'm saying is a work in progress. Abel and I thrust it out. So Abel decided to get our own back. She said to me, listen to what she said. She said, it's your brother-in-law's birthday. And he's 80 year old. You need to buy a card, John Lewis, with 80 written on it. And I said, well, I don't think that's right. She said, yes, he's 80. Ring them if you're not. So I rang my sister. I said, hi, my love. I said, is it Ken's birthday on Monday? She said, yes, he is. I said, yeah, I'm just trying to get him an 80th birthday card. She went bananas. You see, she's a young woman. She's thinking, what makes you think I'm going to marry a man of 80 years old? She was going on and on and on. And the shopkeeper in Avril thought it was amusing. I was so embarrassed. Believe me, marriage is a work in progress. But if I, can I be serious? If I, as a man, decide to have that kind of life with Avril, what do you think our outcome of our marriage is going to be? Well, I was going to use the word bruising. You can't do it, can you? You cannot enter into a marriage on that basis. What makes you think you can enter into a marriage with God on that basis? You see, I still enjoy going to football, you know, and Avril doesn't have much of a major problem on that, because she knows having a hobby is something which is good. I know that Avril likes doing things. Avril's going down to see her mum on Tuesday, and that's great. And, you know, we compromise. Being in a marriage does not mean to say you give up everything. Being in a marriage says you may give up something to have a better relationship. And I know things that Avril likes to do, and she needs to do them. She needs space to do them. And trust me, if you're thinking about a marriage relationship, you need to understand, one, you need compromise, and you need two, to give a bit of slack. But the one thing you cannot do is go into that with self sitting on the throne, and that your interests are all that matter. I'm sorry, The Holy Spirit cannot buy into that, nor will he buy into that. And the result is that we live not empowered lives. We live frustrated lives. Because the moment you come to Jesus, he changes your life and sin becomes more relevant and you don't like battling with sin and you get problems and you get disillusionments. It's because we have still settled upon self being on the throne and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come in this marriage contract that we have, because that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's a wedding ring. The Bible talked about it. It's a wedding ring. It's something that God has given us until the day we meet the Father in heaven, when we will have in Revelation 19 that marriage supper of the Lamb. It's your guarantee. That tells everybody that I'm married. And if I was to go out on an evening without Avril, I wouldn't take my ring off. I would keep my ring on no matter where I am, so that it's a symbol that I belong to Avril. And people understand and recognize that. And I want to tell you something. We need to understand we belong to the Holy Spirit. We have a wonderful relationship with him. But it must come away from the self-directed life to that sort of life. It's just totally the opposite. Colossians chapter 3 says, if you belong to Jesus, seek those things which are above, where Jesus is now sitting, not on the things below. In other words, we have totally transferred our lives. Therefore, we've got new values, we've got new principles. That's why your reading of the Bible should be mega important on your daily life. Because you cannot understand what God wants you to do unless you read the manual which tells you what you want to do. Now, everybody used to have a Haynes manual. Don't care if you're a driver, you've got a Haynes manual. Nowadays, they don't give you things. They put it on a disc, or you've got to download it from the internet, don't you, when you buy stuff. Now, it's a crazy system. Why can't they just give you a manual? Huh? And that maybe is a good point, David. And I want to put that point to you, David. What sort of manual is our Bible to us? We need to have Christ at the center of our lives. Our interests are directed by Christ. Christ doesn't, when you come to know him, take away all your passions and desires. In fact, he enhances your passions and your desires. And he uses you in the church on the gift. Liesl's great at craft work. He didn't come when Liesl came to become a Christian. He didn't say to Liesl, right, I'm taking that gifting that I gave you, crafts, and I'm going to make sure you never use it again. Just the opposite. He says, I'm going to enhance it, and I'm going to let you use it in the church. And hallelujah, when Liesl's using her gifting for Messy Church, it's great. I need to bring someone on board. I keep saying it every week, but it has to happen, because this person's gifting enhances the work of the kingdom of God. You've got a gifting, you've got a gifting, you've got a gifting. You young people have got a gifting, you have a gifting in dancing. And me and you are going to do a rap. Mine's going to be a Subway one. You can do the dancing bit. But we've all got giftings. Danielle, JJ, they're at the back of the computer every week. Using the gift, you're only 15 year old, and that guy there uses his giftings for God. Amen. And you can do it. You can do it. Don't sit there. You're not too young to use your giftings for Jesus. You two young boys, we're baptized a few weeks ago. And listen, they can use whatever giftings they've got, they can use it for Jesus. Amen. This young lady over here is going to be baptized in a few weeks' time. Amen. I haven't had any amens and hallelujahs yet, but that lady is going to be baptized. And she says to me, I dance for God. And she goes to this, I don't know, it's not the perfect church like this is. But anyway, she goes somewhere. But all I'm saying is she's using her giftings for God. That toilet, which is an extension, which is beautiful, extension, was done because men in this church gave up their time and their talent to make it happen. Because we couldn't afford it. Do you remember? And that toilet, very successful. I need a coat hanger putting up, and I need some other stuff putting up, and it gets done. I don't have to do it. When I hang things up, they look straight to me. But the Leaning Tower of Pisa is more straight. Not my gifting. And you see, I did it the other day, and look at this, Richard. I got a black thumbnail. I went like that, and I went, oh dear thing. Well, I didn't say oh dear. But I went like that, and have you ever hit yourself? Pain throngs, isn't it, for ages, isn't it? And you're doing that sort of stuff, and you're saying, bless me, the kingdom of God, as you are. But listen, give me a hammer, I'm lethal. Eunice has just shouted out, I've seen it. I am lethal. I don't think that song, if I had a hammer, a hammer in the morning, I don't think that was God's song for me. I just don't think it is. Some of you are still singing it. I can see you going on in the mind. But I believe God has given me some gifts. And am I going to use them for His glory? Or am I going to say, do you know what, God? Thank you for these gifts, but I'm really much interested in what I'd like to do. Jesus says, I've come that you might have. And what might you have it? God is such a good God. He's saying, you know, I don't want you just to have an ordinary life. I want you to have an extraordinary life. Don't you want that? Don't you want life to be fulfilled? Don't you want to be excited about life? And that doesn't mean to say that you wake up knowing that you're not going to have to save up for things that you want. I'm not talking about that. Most of us, if we want something, have to save up for it. Seriously. Most of us go through sickness. God isn't talking about the wonderful material things and things like that. He does want to bless us in that area. But His main concern is that He wants to come and make us a fulfilled human being. And in the midst of circumstances, in the midst of adversity, we can still have an abundant filled life in Jesus. We can rise above our situations because of the person who is involved in our lives, because we have handed it over to Him. We know that He is on the throne. And He gets it when we understand that this is how He wants us to live our lives. He wants to give us a joy and a peace and a love. If the world had those things there, come on, with me this morning. Let's say it together. If the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, would this world be a better place to live in? Amen. Wouldn't it? Now you say to me, I wonder whether or not I'm living in the Spirit. I'm not going to give you a 25-page questionnaire to find that out. I'm going to say, do you have any of these characteristics? That's what I'm going to say to you. And if you say to me, yeah, I've got a love for people which I never had before I came to know Jesus, then I'm going to say to you, you've got the fruit of the Spirit. Because one way you know you're a Christian, the Bible says, is when you love. You see, if you don't like someone in this church, you don't love someone in this church, you need to go back to God and get that sorted out, because God says one of the proofs of knowing you're a Christian is you've got a love for people. And when He talks about joy, He's not talking about this funny joy, listen to a joke of that. He's talking about having a peace that when things aren't going well at school, you still know that God loves you and God cares for you and that God's going to help you. Remember that, boys. When things aren't going well at school, you can go to Jesus and ask Him to fill you with that joy that only He can fill you with. Faithfulness. Do you know, it's one of the hardest facts that there are more ministers now failing in marriage than any other. Being faithful in a world in which standards have eroded. Let me tell you, if you are married, then that's the person that you have your intimacy with and no one else. Self-control, by golly, do we not need this in this world we live in today. The amount of children I see when I do have to go shopping, I want. And children then start screaming in the aisleways because you will not surrender to their demands. Can I say, don't surrender to them? Children need self-control in their lives. I'm not talking about being brutal, mind you. I'm talking about there are times you want to give your children things. There are times things aren't good for your children. And when you know that that is not the time, then you remain faithful. But this self-control business is now completely out of hand. I wonder now who actually is in control. I feel so sorry sometimes for our sins, for our school teachers. Let me tell you something. If you and I need to go on for God, we need to get rid of that stuff. Because what happens when we are not empowered by the Holy Spirit is we have an ignorance. We have a poor prayer life. If you're wondering why you have no desire to study the Bible, if you're wondering why you don't have a desire to pray, if you ever wondered why you've got on the right side the jealousy, the guilt, the discouragement, the critical spirit that is in churches today, believe me, the critical spirit is very much in churches today. This is true. It's funny, but it's true. A minister said to me, I wanted to move Eddie, the piano, from there over to there. And I was told on no circumstances could you move it. And he said it was crazy. He said there was an uproar. So he said, you know what I did, Ed? I moved it 2 inches every week. That's all he did, 2 inches every week. Until he finally got to his resting place. Crazy, isn't it? But if you're wondering whether some of them traits are in you, it's because you're not allowing God's Spirit to fulfill you. And this title of this subject this morning is Walking in the Spirit. And I want you to walk in the Spirit so you can be happy, fulfilled, and fruitful. So that you can be like my black buddies that I picked yesterday. I want us to be fruitful. I want us to enjoy God. I want us to have a Christian life where you're excited about Jesus. I want to have a life where you want to come to church and worship God. You're just excited about what's going on and things. And that doesn't mean to say that you haven't got your problems and that. We know that's not what we're saying. But what we're saying is we've got something which is far better than our circumstances which are over us. And I believe you can know it because of you have that. And that's my last diagram as we leave this morning. But if you want to be an empowered Holy Spirit, and next week we are going to speak, I hope you come out next week, because next week we're going to show you how you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit and how you can know the success of an effective prayer life, an effective word, how you can have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and goodness. And it's based on those three things. Where are feelings? Because you know what? Most of you Christians live your life on how you feel. Instead of living your life on what? Fact. God says, I love you. Is that a feeling or a fact? God says, I will never leave you, Christine. Is that a feeling or a fact? God says that if you give your life over to me, I will come into your heart and save you. Feeling or fact? God says you can pray to me any time of the day. Feeling or fact? So if you don't feel like praying, that doesn't mean to say you can't pray, because the fact is God says that you can come to me in prayer any time during the day. But we live on feelings. So we take it that God loves us. That's a fact. So what's the next thing we have to do? Right. Correct. And that's why we are not empowered by the Holy Spirit, because we know that God loves us. We hear it from the Bible, but we don't feel God loves us. Therefore, God doesn't love us. God says, I know all about you, but we say, God, you can't understand what I'm going through now. You just haven't got a clue. And God says, yeah, I created you and made you, and I know everything that's going on about you. But you feel that God doesn't care about you, so that then becomes fact. Well, I'm sorry, that is how it goes with some people. When God is saying, fact is, I do love you, I do care for you, but you've now got to put that faith into that fact. And when you do that, feelings will never be a problem to you. And I'm serious, this man here will be going away to work. Okay, now he'll be away from home, and I'm sure he's going to Facebook or do whatever he's social media to his wife, I'm sure. Now, what I'm saying to you, I believe that he won't have to say, although it would be good if he did, that I love you and I miss you, is because you basically will know that. In other words, his relationship is not based on feeling, it's based on the fact that they have a relationship. Even though he's hundreds of thousands of miles away. I'm trying to say to you this morning, relationships are based on fact, they're not based on feelings. You can't base a relationship on feeling. You can't base anything on feelings, because our feelings are lies. It has to be based on fact, that they love each other. That although they're away from each other, it's naturally they'll miss each other. It's naturally they'll feel down, it's naturally they'll feel like that. But the fact though is those, they know they love each other. It still won't harm you to say it, by the way. I'm going to finish now because it's 12:05, and we'll start from here next week. Because this is how we walk in the Spirit. And we're going to dwell on that next week, and we're going to finish this Holy Spirit series off, and then we're going to have this booklet, which will be all ready for you. So we're going to start with that young man there, who was the Holy Spirit, and you are the little baby that's underneath him, and we will deal with that next week. Let's close our eyes, shall we? I wonder if you believe in your life and feelings this morning, or whether you're living your life on fact. I wonder which type of diagram you are. I wonder whether you've not surrendered completely your life to God, or whether you've never surrendered your life to God. I wonder if you like the final diagram, though, who has submitted their life to God, but you're still struggling. Well, that's great, that's okay, God knows that. Remember, you're not perfect, you're saved. And ask God to help you through the Holy Spirit to have the gifts. I'm going to quietly now sit down. I just want to give you a minute. So if you're the one who's never invited Jesus into your heart, into your life, you can do it right now, based on fact, not feeling. And God died for you and gave his life for you. And he wants you to enjoy life, but that means surrendering your life to Jesus, asking him to forgive you for the things you've done wrong, and ask him to come into your heart. If you're a Christian, but you know you're struggling with lots of things in your life, you can ask the Holy Spirit now to take control over those things and allow him to work it, and we'll deal with that next week. So just in this minute, you just talk to God the way that you feel like where your life is at this present time.